Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Nin Kine, and I represent Appellant Trevor Burt. Today, Mr. Burt is here to ask this court to reverse the summary judgment finding below because the district court relied on unsupported facts or unasserted facts, drew inferences in favor of defendant rather than in favor of plaintiff, and then either completely ignored or overlooked the significant evidence put forth by plaintiff. In addition to that, defendants presented evidence that were contradicted by its own evidence or by plaintiff's evidence. Plaintiff then presented significant compelling evidence tending to contradict defendant's legitimate proffer of explanation for the employment decision. I'd like to just run down a brief set of facts here to refresh your memory. Mr. Burt was first hired in 2009 by the National Republican Club of Capitol Hill as a banquet chef. In January 2010, he started working there as such. And then in April 2010, there was a vacancy in the position of executive chef. Mr. Burt was then appointed interim executive chef. And he was paid for that position. He was earning $52,000 a year as a banquet chef. For that position, he was paid $200 per week as an incentive award. Now, at that time, when Mr. Burt assumed the position as an executive chef, he retained his responsibilities as a banquet chef. So he was doing two jobs, and so for that, he was paid additional $200 per week. During that time, Mr. Burt complained to the HR department that he thought that he was being discriminated based on the compensation and by the fact that even though he had expressed interest in applying for the permanent executive chef position, Manager Lawson had actually started interviewing candidates outside of his protected class. After that, the HR manager, Kim Crawford, then investigated Mr. Burt's claims, and she found that, in fact, the club had been discriminatory in compensating Mr. Burt. She then communicated this finding with the club's HR personnel and controller, Linda Mintz, who then communicated these findings to Mr. Lawson. Interestingly, after that, on July 29th or thereabout, Ms. Crawford was terminated by Mr. Lawson. And then in August, Mr. Lawson suggests to the House Committee of the club that there be a tasting test implemented to evaluate the candidates for this executive chef position. I'd like to to bear in mind that during this time, the vacancy had started in April 2010, and by August, Mr. Burt's application had been rejected. The club concedes that when Mr. Burt attempted to apply for the position, he was told by Mr. Lawson himself that he did not need to go through an application process, didn't give him an application.
I'm a little confused on this. Excuse me, go ahead. Okay. A little confused. The way the record appears to be is that it was a two-step process, and he was told he didn't have to go through the first step. He was never told he didn't have to participate in the cook-off, was he?
I can understand that confusion, Your Honor. He was told that he didn't.
I wasn't confused till you said what you just said, or you also said it in your brief. The record seems to be that he was told you don't have to go through the interview.
That's right.
But he was never told he didn't have to go through the cook-off.
Well, Your Honor, it wasn't even understanding by the HR's own department that this tasting test was a mandatory portion of the interviewing or selection process.
I seem to have trouble making myself understood this morning. He was never told that he didn't have to go through the cook-off process, was he? That's a yes or no?
That's correct, Your Honor.
Right.
That's correct.
Okay, so all he was told he didn't have to do was the interview, right?
I'm sorry, repeat that.
All he was told he did not have to do was the interview.
That's right, Your Honor.
Right.
He was not specifically told that he did not have to participate in the tasting test. Now, even going forward,
he was not told, not just not specifically told, he was not told that he didn't have to go through the cook-off.
That's right.
In fact, he was told he did need to go through the cook-off, wasn't he?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Wasn't he, in fact, told that he did have to go through the cook-off?
Your Honor, Mr. Lawson did tell Mr. Burt that he had to go through the process
right.
of participating in the tasting test after this was suggested in August 2010. That's right. But Mr. Burt presented compelling evidence from, again, its own HR department, Linda Mintz, stating that when Mr. Lawson initially designed the tasting test, there were three candidates. and she named the three candidates, and she said she did not recall Mr. Burt's name being mentioned. She also said that Mr. Burt had already been ruled out. So in effect, Mr. Burt had already been discriminated against prior to even implementing this tasting test, which, by the way, was extremely subjective and inconsistent with the employer's legitimate reason for the decision.
But it doesn't matter if it was subjective if he never participated. Right?
Your Honor,
and if that was part of the application process, and this is how the district court analyzed the case, right? That was part of the application process. So if you don't finish that process, you can't argue that it's, you know, that you're adversely affected.
Well, I would ask the court to remember that, in fact, Linda Mintz testified that Mr. Burt had cooked the meals that were in the tasting test. He had, in fact, participated in the tasting test. In fact, she said the board members, the six board members who were to evaluate this tasting test, Mr. Burt had cooked these meals. And Mr. Lawson himself testified that the reason for implementing this test, which is contrary to what counsel asserted, which was that the test was implemented by the board in order to address the high turnover rate. But contradictory to that, what Mr. Lawson said was he designed this tasting test to better evaluate the candidates, because in the past, when you've had applicants, when you call the HR departments, they will not provide any information pertaining to the cooking quality of these chefs, and that in the past, when they've hired these candidates based on the applications alone, that they've had cooking qualities that weren't so great.
That makes it seem like it's a valid requirement. So we still have the problem that Mr. Burt chose not to participate.
Well, Your Honor, that does seem like a good requirement. The only problem is that Mr. Lawson testified in the past, when he's known the incumbent chef's cooking quality, he's not imposed the same test. In Mr. Burt's case, he very well knew Mr. Burt's taste, cooking quality. Mr. Burt had received positive reviews from the board members and the customers. There was evidence to show that Mr. Burt had kept the cost down. And what's more interesting is that if you look at the defendant's exhibit for the job description, it says nothing about supervising the grill, and or the tasting test. And so the fact that defendants are now, after filing suit, claiming that this tasting test was done to react to a high turnover rate doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense, because they already knew Mr. Burt's cooking style. With respect to the compensation claim.
The position was empty. He was just the acting executive chef. So they wanted to fill the position. Is it your contention that what should have happened is that because they knew how your client cooked, that they should have compared the cooking of the other applicants with his cooking?
Well, Your Honor, what I'm saying is that if they're saying on the one hand he didn't have to go through interview process because his everyday performance was his evaluation, and then you take that and read it against the proffered reason that the tasting test was designed to evaluate a chef's cooking quality. Well, they already know Burt's cooking quality. And
suppose the other candidates were Mario Batali and some other famous chefs, and is there anything that suggests, let me put it this way, was there any evidence to indicate that when they devised the tasting test that your client would refuse to take it? Did they know when they devised the test that he would refuse to take it? Is there any evidence of that at all?
Well, Your Honor, I think that there is. Mr. Lawson stated that Mr. Burt felt special and that he didn't have to go through this tasting test. But moreover, I think the more salient point here.
I'm not clear. I'm having the same problem that Judge Sintel had. What's the answer? There was no evidence that when they devised the test, and that before they even devised the test, that they knew that if they put this test as a condition of application, that your client would refuse to take it. They didn't know that, did they?
Well, no, they didn't, Your Honor. Yeah. But Going back to the compensation.
But nevertheless, you claim that the test itself was discriminatory, right? It was a pretext?
Well, Your Honor, what we're saying is that at the summary judgment stage, there was sufficient evidence to defeat summary judgment showing that there is, in fact, dispute of material facts. You know, whether or not...
What is the material fact that you say there is a genuine issue about?
With respect to the non-selection or the non-promotion, Your Honor, the disputed fact is whether or not Trevor Bird had, in fact, cooked this tasting test meal. And, in fact, whether...
Well, no, that's not disputed. He didn't cook the meal.
Well...
That's not disputed.
Well, be that as...
You've said that the record is clear on that. He didn't. What is the fact as to which there is a genuine dispute?
Well, Your Honor, be that as it may, the other issue is whether or not Mr. Burt, whether or not their reason for the tasting design was, in fact, a pretext for discrimination. This court and many other circuits have said...
Now, that's what Judge Randolph is asking you about. When they designed the test, you have no evidence that they knew he would refuse to take it.
Well, no, but, Your Honor, but their reasoning is inconsistent with their own their testimony of the manager's testimony.
Well, you still have to make out your case.
Well, and then, Your Honor, there's also the evidence from HR manager Kim Crawford, who stated that she found discrimination after her investigation. I mean, I don't
know
if...
Tell me the fact that's in dispute about that.
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Tell me the fact as to which there's a genuine dispute about that.
Your Honor, the genuine dispute is whether or not there was, in fact, whether the defendant's position was a pretext for discrimination, right?
That's a matter of conclusion. What is the evidentiary fact as to which there's a dispute that will get you past summary judgment?
Well, whether or not Mr. Burt, again, I encourage the court to see that whether or not Mr. Burt had to participate in this sham investigation or sham selection process, and that's the disputed fact. I see that I'm out of time, but would kindly request for rebuttal to finish addressing the compensation claim. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Tyree Jones, and I'm counsel for appellees, the National Republican Club of Capitol Hill, and Stanley Lawson. We ask that you affirm the decision of the district court granting summary judgment in the appellee's favor against the discrimination claims asserted by Trevor Burt. I take from your questions, and as you will see from our briefs, it is the appellee's position that there was no adverse employment action with regard to the decision to fill the position of executive chef because it is undisputed, as counsel just indicated, that Mr. Burt refused to participate in the cook-off, the last stage of the application process. And it is also undisputed that he refused to participate in the cook-off despite the warning from Mr. Lawson that if he did not participate in the cook-off, Mr. Lawson would not be able to consider him for the position. And what is also salient about that is that Mr. Lawson, again, it is undisputed, is the individual who hired Trevor Burt in January 2010 and who also saw fit to appoint Trevor Burt to the position of interim executive chef in April 2010, each of which are acts by a general manager that have no connection whatsoever to racial animus, and in fact, on the contrary, demonstrate that there is a general manager who is providing opportunity to an employee who is performing well in his position, who performed well at his initial interview. And for that reason, there is no adverse action in connection with the promotion. Even were the court to find that there were some aspect of that selection process that constituted an adverse action, Mr. Burt has proffered no evidence before this tribunal or in the district court that would raise any triable issue questioning the validity of the reason for not selecting him.
Is my memory right that he never put in a statement of material facts that are in dispute?
He did not that directly address the statement of facts submitted by the defendant. What he did was he subsumed his statement of facts within his opposition brief. And those statements, as the district court found, largely repeated the allegations in his complaint. It did not cite to particular deposition testimony. The evidence that
he... Even though the local rules require that.
That's right, Your Honor. And that's why the district court, relying on Local Rule 7H, deemed the undisputed facts that were submitted by the defendants to be admitted, but not just by a procedural fiat. The court went on to say that it was finding those facts to be admitted because it did consider the evidence presented by Mr. Burt and found that that evidence did not controvert the material facts submitted by defendants. The court waded through the deposition testimony of Ms. Mintz, which was not cited to with any particularity, but was just summarily attached to the opposition, as well as considered the affidavit of Kim Crawford.
Is that because of Burke v. Gould?
I'm sorry, Your Honor?
Is that because of Burke v. Gould?
That the court waded into and through that deposition?
Yeah.
It's not clear from the record why the court did that. I presume that may have had some bearing on it. But the salient point is she did so, and in that instance, examined the evidence presented by Mr. Burt, the very same evidence that is still before this court on this record. And indeed, what the district court found is, notwithstanding counsel's representations about Ms. Mintz's testimony, Ms. Mintz also testified that Mr. Burt refused to participate in the cook-off, and Ms. Mintz offered that the reason Trevor Burt gave was because he hadn't been interviewed. All of that simply corroborated the fact that he had refused to participate in the cook-off. Mm-hmm. With regard to the compensation, Mr. Burt was appointed to the position of interim executive chef. He has contended, without elaboration, as the district court found, that he was performing the same duties as the executive chef, and therefore should have been paid the same salary on an annualized basis that an executive chef is paid. But that is not, in fact, the case. Not only was he not supervising the grill, which is addressed in our briefs, but the undisputed facts submitted by defendants also clearly identify what the duties of the executive chef are. Undisputed fact number 6, submitted by defendants, specifies that the executive chef's duties included oversight of the entire culinary operation at the club and included the authority to hire and fire, as well as discipline employees. As the interim executive chef, Trevor Burt did not have hiring and firing authority. That's not a mere argument that was not made below. That is not a misrepresentation of the facts. That's a recitation of an undisputed fact submitted to the court and found by the district court to be undisputed. Even if there were a dispute as to the level of similarity between the duties performed, there is no showing by Mr. Burt, either now or below, that there was even an entitlement to any increase in pay for the interim position. This position had never existed before. Mr. Lawson put Mr. Burt in that position to fill the gap while the club filled the position of executive chef. Even if one thinks the pay should have been more than $200, or whether one thinks it should have been less than an additional $200 a week, that's still where it is unconnected to any instance of racial animus, cannot form a basis of an adverse action, and certainly can't raise a triable issue on that point. And for those reasons, Your Honor, appellees submit that the district court properly found in favor of defendants on summary judgment, and we ask that that decision be affirmed. Thank you.
Thank you. No time remaining. We'll give you 2 minutes.
I'd just like to briefly address the compensation claim. Your Honor, in this case, the district court not only adopted unasserted facts. For example, the district court adopted that the duties of the two jobs differed significantly. Now, the defendants never asserted that these duties differed significantly. The only difference in the duties were the supervision of the grill. Counsel's earlier argument about having hiring authority is actually a new argument that hasn't been raised in the case below. With respect to the supervision of the grill, Manager Lawson himself said Mr. Burt performed all of the same duties as an executive chef, with an exception of the supervision of the grill. Because the club was short-staffed, Mr. Burt didn't have the time and wherewithal to spend significant amount of time on supervising the grill. Now, the court recognized that but ignored it. I mean, that's contradictory evidence to show that to argue that he didn't perform the same duties. He did. Linda Mintz testified that Mr. Burt, in fact, performed the same duties. And in addition to that, he was performing the duties as a banquet chef. And for that, he was paid $200 per week. Now, there is a disputed fact as to whether or not he was compensated fairly. And now, that is an issue for the jury.
Was he compensated fairly or not?
It's not an issue in the case.
Courts don't sit as a super employment board.
That's right.
You have to have discrimination. It's not a matter of fairness or unfairness. It has to be a discrimination on a statutory ground.
Right, Your Honor. And the reason why Mr. Burt claims that there's discriminatory animus is because of the totality of the circumstances, given that his comparators were making $90,000 a year for performing the same duties. Again, this is the issue here. Was he performing the same duties? That was a disputed fact with respect to the compensation claim. And the second issue that the court adopted was that Burt did not supervise the grill. Well, that's not true. He did supervise the grill. He just didn't spend significant amount of time supervising the grill. Whether or not that significant time spent on the grill is sufficient to be paid $200,000 more, that's a jury question. That's not for the court below to decide. And finally, Your Honor, with respect, I wanted to respond to Judge Sentel's question earlier about disputed facts regarding the non-selection. I just want to direct the court's attention to Linda Mintz's testimony, wherein she said Mr. Burt's name was not mentioned, again, when he had advised that this tasting test would be implemented, and that he mentioned that Mr. Burt's cooking quality as an executive chef was average, which contradicts what the board and the customers had been saying. And in addition to that, Mr. Burt also had to be subjected to a different interview process. Linda Mintz said the other candidates had to go through an interview where questions were asked about their management and their cooking agendas and that sort of thing, that Mr. Burt wasn't given the equal opportunity to respond to. For those reasons, Your Honors, we ask that this court reverse and remand the case. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Case will be submitted.